on the line.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Woo! Thank you. Thank you so much. Welcome to another reality show. It is Thursday night. It is my favorite night of the week. And we have a tremendous show prepared for tonight. But give me a second so I can give Susan Lee the number so she can call in. Okay, Susan? Okay. 646-929-2084. Okay, and I'm going to do a little meditation thing where I invite the essence in, so we got a few minutes anyway, so thanks. Okay, bye. Okay, so Susan's calling in now, and while she does that, let's all take a breath. Nice deep breath. It's going to be a very deep night tonight. I promise you that. Susan brings with her a wisdom, a presence that goes deep as much as it goes expanded. But okay, so let's call in our essence. Inviting our essence in to experience with us all of life in the physical dimension. Everything. Everything, the joys, the pain, the beauty, the sorrow. Really breathe it in. Our essence is looking for us right now. It's waiting for the invitation. And in many cases, it's only a breath away from our experience. So the invitation is really just symbolism of acknowledging that we are more than our physical beings. And as we acknowledge and as we breathe in daily, if not, even not just in the morning, I mean, I am inviting my essence in pretty much on a constant basis. At this point, it's not an invitation in. It's, wow, did you feel that? Like, or did you see that? You know, it's just sharing my level of consciousness with another expanded level of consciousness in my being. And it sweetens the pot of life. It sweetens the experiences. It sweetens the joys, and it sweetens the painful blows of the destructuring. It's just such a such an asset that all of us have access to, and that's why I've really devoted my my show every week to reminding everyone, invite in the greater aspect of who you are. Because, you know, like I've said a few times, this is not about inviting in your essence so it can pay your bills for you. It's about inviting in your essence so you can see the bigger picture, that maybe if you can't pay your bills, maybe there is a beautiful experience around that that the fear didn't let you see, but your essence will let you see. And then you'll say, oh, okay, I'm not paying my bills because I'm going to downsize and I'm going to move into a smaller space and get snuggly. Or it's just, to be honest, you can't even define what your essence will bring to you. But I can promise you, it is the beauty, the unconditional love, and everything that which is unknown that we have intended and wanted to know. So I hope everybody feels good. I know also that my shows have been taking on tremendous energy since I've been inviting the essence in on the show. So that alone is reason to do this for me. Anyways, all right, we have the lovely Dr. Susan Lee with us today. I'm so incredibly excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the show, Susan.
How are you? Thank you. I'm excited to be here as well.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, I want to let everybody know, following Susan on her blog and her newsletters is such an outstanding journey of self, of that which I desire to be, that which I already am. I highly recommend, and I don't really do this often, but Susan, can you give out both of those web addresses? Because it is really a, I feel very connected. The things that you write are such a connection for me, and I look forward to them, and when I'm reading them, your newsletters, tremendously. Just, you know, connect me and make me feel great. They make me feel safe and warm and snuggly. So.
Oh, warm and snuggly
is
good.
Exactly.
So, well,
there you go.
My newsletter, it's all on my website, www.multidimensions, MultiDimensions. multidimensions.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Arcturian Corridor, Journey to the Arcturian Corridor, they are probably the easiest way to tell you where to go is in the body of the website, but it's
okay.
Also under the free downloads. And so that's what all the newsletters are up until the last two, and then you can just click the archive newsletters. And
okay.
At the opening page, you can click the blog. I think it's called Awakening with Suzanne Lee. But
it
I'm
is
not,
called Awakening. Yes. Yes,
yeah,
that is
I'm
what
not
it's
sure
called.
If you can get
yes.
it by putting that in or what.
Yes, yes. Your newsletters, because what you get from the blog is a little more, it's during the month she'll, as if you're not sitting here, you'll share the really, you know, heartwarming events of your personal experience. And Susan, I'm so honored that you share your truth. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I honor that. I believe that that's truly what the world really wants right now, is some of us out there just sharing truly the transparency of everything. Just
right. Yeah.
Everything.
It's not an easy path, but it's definitely worth the journey.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to keep looking at yourself, and then you look at yourself, and then you look at yourself again. And then you've got all these different selves to look at, you know, your unconscious self, your ego self, your wounded ego, your divine child, your higher self, your fifth dimensional self. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, well, we really are. We're the schizophrenics of the universe.
Absolutely.
I know, and it's a gorgeous thing to acknowledge that, because once you acknowledge it, you can start understanding that there really are different selves that bring to the experience different perceptions.
Absolutely, but we're very, very complex beings.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just
okay.
In this dimension.
Pardon?
And that's just in this dimension. We've got all other beings in all other dimensions, so it goes on and on.
Know. It really does. But would you say, in your personal opinion, there's a lot of focus right now in other dimensions upon this dimension?
I don't understand your question. What was that?
Meaning that other dimensions are watching and observing what's happening in the third/fourth/fifth dimension, right here on this planet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. From what I've read and heard and gotten, there's like a parking lot, you know, around and fourth and fifth dimensional space around Earth, because we're like the cornerstone for this whole galactic ascension. This whole galaxy is ready to like move up a notch, and so
right.
You know what the Arcturians
totally
just told me for the latest newsletter. They said it's not going to fail, because they're not going to let it. There's too much. I mean, not everyone can get the ride, I guess.
Right.
Or keep the ride. We might all get the ride, but you have to maintain it. You know, we're not going to a place. We're going to a higher state of consciousness.
Right.
So, you know, we're not going someplace different. We're just raising the resonance. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting, because I'm starting to learn that space and time, like,
right.
Space is a quality of an object. It's like, I'm learning, if you want to be somewhere, that location is a quality in the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
That's really just a fascinating. I mean, for me, because I one of the reasons why I resonated deeply with your work is I like the science of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
from
many years ago when we first spoke, you know, with the whole, we used to speak about brain waves and how we would learn through different brain waves, and now I'm learning. The science of the frequencies is that, you know, like I said, Location is the quality of an object. An object isn't in a space and time. Space is in the quality of the frequency of the object. Shift the quality of frequency and you would change the location of the object. Like, that's fascinating.
Right. Yes. And the time.
And time.
We don't really shift the location as much as we shift the time. We shift the frequency. It's a really interesting thing. It's we're starting to use more of our brains. You know, we've been using like 3%, and so now we're we're downloading.
No wonder why we've been running around like chickens.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about channeling the Arcturians. We've never done this before, me and you personally. So I am excited about this. I that's the second half of the show. I just have to share whenever I'm like jumping out of my seat that, wow, I'm really excited about that. here's part of my I always have challenges when I'm interviewing. There's so much to talk about. You know, I have trouble sometimes filtering. So if you could just help me by choosing any one of the exquisite topics you clearly have information on, I'll follow suit. I'm up to date on all your work. I don't know how to bring it down.
Okay, well, let's just talk about that. Let's just talk about the bringing it down.
Okay.
It's not really the bringing it down as it is the bringing it in. That I'll talk a little bit about what's actually happening now.
Awesome.
Because
perfect.
What's happening now is, I don't know how many of the listeners know this or some variation of this, but, 2012 is actually the date where we are at, 28 Sagittarius, which is the galactic center. And then when we are at the galactic center, we've got, this open doorway, an open portal. And in the middle of every galaxy, or most galaxies, and definitely our own galaxy, there are black holes. And in this one, there's supposed to be like two black holes. And then around the black holes, there's this immense density of like myriad stars all just smushed together. And so there's this field of energy that comes from the core, the galactic core, because this energy is coming. I mean, they used to think that the black hole pulled things in, but now they're not quite so sure that that's it. And then there's a theory about the black
hole. Hawking's actually confirmed that. Stephen Hawking's actually confirmed that, I believe. Confirmed that the black holes don't just suck in. There's actually a white space or something white coming out of a black hole, some kind of energy or something.
Yeah,
that was like a big thing in the science community. Yeah.
Yes, because the in reality, this whole from our third dimensional consciousness, we see everything in polarities. There's love and there's fair and there's pretty and there's ugly and there's smart and there's dumb and there's black and there's white. But in reality, in the higher dimensions, we don't have those polarities. And so the black and the white would be the extremes of frequency, white being all the colors and black being no color. And so, and energy travels in a circle. So then they are together. So when the circle closes, the two extremes, the black and the white, are together. And so there's that theory, or maybe it's now proven, about the black hole is just our side of the white hole. And so that leads to a whole different frequency of reality. In theory, scientifically, but metaphysically, yeah. And so this energy is called torsion waves, or some people call them scalar waves. And these waves of energy that are emitting from the core of our galaxy are, they're multidimensional light, they're unconditional loving, they're divine intelligence and infinite creativity. And they function like the conch shell or the fibronic numbers, where, 2, 4, 8, 16, you know, goes on. And so
filling it up, okay.
Right. And so it gets more and more, and it goes faster and faster and bigger and bigger. And so even though we're not exactly at that space yet, but in a year and a half we will be,
right.
As we're totally getting that energy, because you see with the flashlight, as light travels, it gets bigger. It goes in like in waves,
right.
and it gets bigger and bigger. And so we're
right.
getting those waves all the time. And those waves are coming in through our pineal gland, our crown chakra, that especially as we have done our work and, you know, worked with raising the kundalini and clearing our chakras and doing all those good kinds of things. And so this light is coming in to our crown chakra, and it's displaying its images and moving in our brains. And as we meditate, we can see these things with our third eye, and the unconditional love and creativity is hooking into the high heart. And so we're getting to this place that we're having these experiences of unconditional love. That's not something you see much of in the third dimension. Love is pretty much something that you have to work for or deserve or whatever. But this spiritual love is unconditional. Just because you are loved.
Mm.
And so we're having this unconditional love blending with this multidimensional light, and it's turning on this DNA, which they've called the junk DNA. They don't quite know what it is. It's turning it on, and it's turning because a certain frequency of light will turn on certain DNA codes and turn off others. So the way the Arcturians have explained it to, for us poor humans that are trying to understand things, is that before we were like on what they call a third-dimensional operating system. And that's where we're living in the land of polarities. And everything is logical and sequential. And if there's creativity, it's something that we, you know, work at it for a long time. And, you know, hard work gets us what we're doing. But those codes are all getting turned off. And they're kind of like DOS. You know, we've moved on, you know. And
exactly.
So now what's turning on is this other DNA, which is like a multidimensional operating system. And so the example I'm thinking of is like, of course, I don't know how many of you are, but I was always an avid Star Trek watcher. But they had this third dimensional chess. And so you play chess like on a flat field, but there's like three levels of it. So you look down at it as well. So that's kind of like a representation of sort of what multidimensional thinking or multidimensional operating system is. And as this multidimensional operating system comes in, we start releasing our attachment to time and releasing our attachment to objects and to the material world, and starting, instead of thinking, oh, I went to sleep and have a dream and I was flying and doing all these magnificent things, we're starting to think more like, wow, I went home last night, that was cool, and now I'm asleep pretending that I'm a human and I have a third dimensional body. So we're starting to like see these other dimensions of ourselves as truly ourselves. And being able to embrace concepts that we could never embrace. But what's happening with this energy is we want to start, all of us that are doing things like listening to this radio show and doing all the readings and that have already been awakened, as I call it, and many call it a process of awakening. What happens with this awakening, that allows us to take in more light and more light and more light. And so when 2012 comes, we will be adapted to carrying these higher frequencies in our physical form.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine if somebody lived in a cave their whole life and then they were just suddenly pulled outside and it was 12 o'clock noon in the desert, it would be overwhelming. It'd be too much.
Exactly.
And so what we're
the
doing
cave,
now,
who did the cave, wasn't that a...
Yeah, the Aristotle.
Plato? Aristotle, exactly.
I think
okay,
it was
that was good, though. Exactly.
I think it was
exactly.
Ask the guest. They'll tell you if we're wrong. One of those. Might have been Plato. Might have been Aristotle. Who knows?
Well, Aristotle was a student of Plato, so right. We're close even
yeah.
if we're wrong.
Either way.
I'm didn't mean to interrupt. Please go on. I love listening to you.
So, the analogy of the cave. But I'd like to say that analogy because there's a part of it that I read in this Keiko book that is makes it even more interesting. So what the analogy of the cave is that there is these people that they're in a cave and they were shackled and all they could do was face the back of the cave. And so they saw these reflections on the wall, which they didn't see as reflections. They saw that that was really all that reality was. That's the only reality they knew. And then one person said, I want out of here. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And he was trying to escape, and the people were saying, no, no, this is reality. What are you doing? So finally, he escapes, and he goes outside, and he sees that a bird isn't just this two-dimensional shadow, that it's actually a creature that flies and has feathers and, you know, all these wonderful details. And so he says, I got to go back and tell my friends. So he goes back in, and he's waking everyone. Wait, this isn't real. There's this great thing. And they all said, no, you're wrong. What are you thinking? They wouldn't turn around. They wouldn't leave.
Right, right.
So that was...
We haven't come that far from the cave to the 21st century.
Yeah, so, you know, there's as many people that really embrace this. There's really a lot of people that that's just, it's just too far for them. They just can't do it.
I know. Even though, I don't know about you, but I find... In my own experience between, I'm avid on Facebook. In fact, a lot of my listeners now come from Facebook, and there's definitely a community there, and it's worldwide, which is just so comforting for me. But between my Facebook and, like I'm at a state of awakening now where it's not that often that I'm really in a, at least in a group of people that aren't awakened, because I mean, I've let go of family structure at this point, which there was a lot of family structure, even though at this point there's definitely, I have cousins and stuff that they're definitely awakened as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like the awakening for me, I'm embraced by it. You know, I'm also still a nanny. So, of course, the children, at the age that I have them, they haven't gone to sleep yet, so to speak. I don't even know
right.
if they really will.
Yes,
this time,
right,
because
want.
It seems the frequency, like you were saying, the scalar waves or the photon belt, whatever people want to call it,
right.
is clearly, you know, I'm seeing the densest of people starting to move, you know, in the direction of creativity, in the direction of, I don't think I want to be sitting in a cubicle anymore. You know, it would be really great to breathe some fresh air and to make a living doing that,
right.
however that manifests.
Right.
So I do see it kind of, you know, from my perspective, I do see it awakening, you know, but again, you know, I'm sure if I visited, you know, maybe a Catholic church, it wouldn't be that way. I don't know. Not that I want
to
put anybody, yeah, I'm just, yeah, I got to watch what I said.
Yeah, some are really pretty
much. Right.
And
right.
some aren't, you know, it just depends on the priest, basically, I think.
That's true, too, because I have heard many friends say that they've heard sermons that the priests are very much embodying, because I guess the Pope, I don't, you know, really listen to the Pope, but I've heard that the Pope has embraced certain, like he's embraced UFOs
oh,
or
right.
extraterrestrial. Yeah, and I was like, hey, rock and roll. Because, you know, it's interesting that we bring this up, because it seems like in the last, like, 3 months, like I've always had a galactic connection. I've been on a spaceship consciously and...
Mm-hmm.
But I never realized the ascension was really about embracing my galactic self. I didn't realize that
right.
until like the last 3 months. That point has really come into my cellular being and my DNA, that ascension, because I used to always still have the whole heaven thing. And I didn't even know what really that was. But for me, nature is always heaven, and the animals, the trees, you know, my ability to communicate with them and feel and hear them back. That was always like what I had as a heaven picture. But I'm very much embracing my galactic side now, consciously, you know, because I'm like, that's what the next step is in the expansion, you know. Like you say, you know, you go into, you become the body of the planet, and then you're now in the body of the solar system. You know what I mean? The bodies start growing. That's why I love your work. Your work grows with my level of, I breathe that in and say, yes, I get that. Even though I couldn't say it, when I read it, I'm like, yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, it's our perception of self that is expanding.
Yeah.
And our perception is family. It used to be, remember, that our family maybe was just our family, and then maybe it was our neighborhood, and then the Mayan calendar talks about this. It talks about, I don't have any of my cheat sheets here, so I might say it not exactly right, but it's this whole procession of first, life is like molecular, and that goes on for like a couple million years, you know, it's got this big long space. And it's that same kind of like the torsion wave that as it goes back, the time frame gets smaller as it's moving to no time. So first, maybe cellular, and that's a couple million years, and then mammalian, and then that's, you know, a few less million years. And then I think there's nine. Cellular, mammalian, then I think tribal, and then
communal.
Communal, yeah, and that's less time and less time, and then there's a national, and a planetary, and a galactic, and a cosmic, and I skipped one, but the cosmic.
We got the picture. Correct.
From the galactic to the cosmic, it's just like counted in days, whereas from the cellular to the mammalian, it's counted in millions of years.
Yeah.
And so the evolution just goes faster. And so, but I'd like to also talk about the galactic family, because I think it's one of the things that it's really important that we embrace, because there's been so much brainwashing about, you know, the scary monsters coming from outer space. And I remember when I was a kid, there was all these horror shows, and it was always, even that silly V thing on TV, which is a remake of a remake of a remake. But, that in reality, we are evolved enough now that we don't have to think that we're the most evolved species in the universe.
Right.
And I don't know if anyone saw that Area 51, the kids show, watched it with my grandkids, but it was like a parody of this, because humans came to this planet, and the people were terrified of the ET, who was the human. And they kept saying, well, you know, there's 500 planets in the whole world, and 300 in our neighborhood, or something like that. And they all these things that a lot of people still believe that the world was made in 7 days, that the universe was made in 7 days. People believe that still. So, what's happening is that now that we see that, yes, there are many planets around all these stars, these sun-like stars, there are hundreds and hundreds of known planets, and there's, you know, many, many more than that. But that's just how much that we've changed. And so now I think that there's probably not as many places, but I don't know this. It's much more difficult to take a body in a third-dimensional reality such as we have, because of all the separation from each other. You know, I'm a person, you're a person, and the space separates us, and separation from our concept of God and of spirit, and separation from the planet, and separation from our higher self. So that's a big challenge, that as we are expanding our consciousness, that we no longer feel, we're no longer experiencing that separation, then we can realize that our family isn't just the people on our nation or the people on our planet. They're the family that was here long before we were here, like our family from the Pleiades and our family from Arcturus and our family from Sirius and, you know, family from Nibiru, and even our Draconian family. And
exactly.
A lot, they were here a lot when they were kind of our stage, so they kind of made a lot of the same mistakes that we made.
Right.
But they evolved. And so
yes.
Now they're kind of back. They're saying, okay, you know, we take responsibility that some of your behaviors are like our behaviors were when we were on this planet. So they're here, and they're doing what they can do, but it's a free will planet, so we have to ask for help to get it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought up the Draconians, only because a lot of my shows lately, what I'm feeling really compelled to speak for is that in the unifying of my own experience, excuse me, well, isn't that interesting? I share with everybody that there, you don't expand by pushing anything away. Expansion comes from an integration, not from an elimination. So the dark side is a part of all of us, and it's like you were saying at the beginning of the show, it's why we come to this dimension, because a duality is created in this dimension of light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no dark characters, quote unquote, how would you know, the good wouldn't really shine, because there was no dark in contrast for the good to have a space to actually shine. And so I tell people, you know, it's not even a level of forgiveness anymore. It's just the acknowledgement of the value that the dark played, the dark role played. And I am that dark role. I mean, I'm the light, but I am also the dark.
Yep.
With no shame of that. You know, and I have in my awareness now that I don't need to be dark. Like, I heard a quote just yesterday that said, true power is the ability to destroy, but to choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
That's true power.
That's true.
And it just struck a chord in me. See, that's the acknowledgement of being dark but choosing otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm getting a serious, see, and this is because you're on the phone with me too, a serious crown tingle right now.
Well, and also it's because a lot of Draconians have ascended.
They have
ascended as well.
You know,
and I've, you know, been in some communication with those, you know, Draconians that have ascended, and they're, like, really cool. They're very humorous, very smart, very metaphysical.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the
Dracs that aren't ascended, most of them are ones that are here and have been here working with, you know, the secret government and everyone. And
right.
So they've been working for long
right.
time.
And but as the energy, inevitably, all of us will unify again because that's the nature of energy, you know.
Right.
So there's no time frame in eternity. It's it's personal choice. I mean, I choose to, like you, walk this path, which is challenging. But for me, I love a good challenge. I mean, I'm a tough son of a bitch, to be quite honest. In fact, I thrive in this challenge right now. And the acknowledgement that the universe itself seems to be giving me right now is so extraordinary. I've never received, I don't know if you're experiencing this as well, but never have I received the accolades. I mean, even from the sentient beings that, quote unquote, aren't human, you know, the trees and the animals, just seem to be so happy.
Well, you know, I think the trees and the animals, they're ahead of us on the whole ascension process.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
The plant and the animal kingdom. And you hear stories all the time. And, you know, on the internet, you see all those great stories about, you know, got dogs and cats being great friends, and that one with
yes.
the elephant and the dog, and,
yes.
and there was one about a cat and a mouse, and
a dolphin and a dog
system.
Too. Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. And I all the time on Facebook when they come up, I go, "See, this is interspecies connections."
Absolutely.
And all they're doing is showing us that we also have interspecies connections,
okay.
and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful experience. Exactly, Susan. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. I love that you get it. You're not even on. Are you on Facebook?
I just opened one, and I haven't even, I've gone public with my Facebook, but I feel kind of bad. It's like a fan one, because I don't have time. My husband, he's on Facebook with his music, and he spent hours there. I do not have hours to spend on Facebook. But I'm putting everything up there in one place for everyone to get to. But I'll probably start advertising it on my next newsletter, which should be out pretty soon.
Awesome. Because when you're up on it, I'll also advertise that for you. Because you're already on Facebook, actually. Your newsletters, all that stuff, whenever you post something, I post it on my page. And I know that's why we have a big show tonight, too, because they resonate. I mean, it's you write stuff that people, you know, might not know how to put into words, but when they read it, they know it immediately. It resonates in their being.
The one that I'm doing that's going to come out now, I have a girlfriend that helps me edit it. And this was one that was really surprising. It was absolutely not anything that I thought that I was going to do at all. And there, I get all this great email and all this email about the crop circles, and I've seen a zillion. But there was these three particular crop circles that I had to steal the picture and save them because I felt that I needed something with those crop circles. Anyhow, with this newsletter, it turns out about going on these crop circles, how these crop circles are portals and how to go through the portal of the different crop circles. And then we end up on a fifth dimensional and ascended planet in Arcturus, and it's quite a trip. And then we move over to fifth dimensional Earth and talk about the different levels, like the threshold level and what life is like there, and then the mid fifth dimension, what life is like there. And, it's incredibly long. I just couldn't not put it all in because it would be, it's not something you can stop and pick up next month. You'd be too confused.
Don't worry about Lent, because those that love and resonate, I'm telling you, your newsletters have never intimidated me. I am excited every, and I've actually read some of them on my cell phone, which is really quite an experience.
Oh, that is a commitment.
Exactly. But because every bit is exactly, it's beautiful experience. Your work is just, your expression. Two four-letter words that just are leaving my vocabulary, time and work. They're just, they don't seem to resonate with me anymore.
The Arcturians have even said we need to give up our addiction to time and space. And also they talk a lot about light language they're trying to teach us. And in light language, you want to know what light language looks like? Look at a crop circle.
Sure.
That's what
exactly.
I
mean. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It comes in.
Is it the Arcturians? Because I've heard everything. I mean, there's really many civilizations that are actually doing the crop circles.
I think that's
not just
true. I've heard, once I read that the Arcturians were it, and another place I read somebody else was it. And probably all have a hand at it in some way, because they're all speaking that same language, and it's important that we learn that language. And look how much the crop circles have evolved.
I know.
From what they used to be. They're so ornate now.
Yeah, they're exquisite. Have you ever physically stood in one?
Oh, I would love to. No, I never have.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, nor have I. Yeah, me too. Me too.
But
your meditations are going through the dimensions anyway. See, and this is what I think is important.
Yeah.
because we are multidimensional, we can go through a crop circle right from our own living rooms, so to speak.
That's right.
I mean, I want to emphasize that in my heart of hearts, I know. I'm not even going to say I believe. I know. See, that's my new four-letter word that I'm really emphasizing. I know the experience is real. I emphasize that on all my shows. Don't think because something is less physical, it's not real. That is just hogwash.
Right. Well, it's habit. Our habitual perception has been if it holds matter. And I was just looking at this new Discover magazine, and something about 1% of the galaxy is dense matter. And the rest is like dark matter and dark energy and, you know, all these other things that they don't even know what the heck they are.
Right.
Which my guess is that there's all those other dimensions.
Well, exactly. Well, and it's so funny because most of it's dark energy, and how funny how most people, and I'm including many of the light workers' mentality, only want to be in the light. Okay, so you're in point 1%, you know, 1.1999999 whatever. You know, it's okay. Embrace the dark. It's not what we've been conditioned to believe it is.
Right.
At least it's not only what we've been conditioned to believe it is. There's a lot of depth in the dark, a lot of depth.
And also there's the void. And I know from my experience, and I put it in the Arcturian corridor as well, but my experience through my, how I went through this experience of being led through the different subplanes of the fourth dimension. And there's a mystery scroll right on the threshold. First there's the lower astral plane, and the lower astral plane is kind of what people think of as hell. And that's kind of like the trash can. You know, the fourth dimension is like a big lake, and, you know, all the, you know, the garbage goes to the bottom of the lake, and as you move up the lake, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter until you're at the top of the water and it's light. And that's the fifth dimension, and that's more of the, you know, that spirit.
The unconditional loving
spirit. Spirit, light. Yeah, and the fourth dimension is water, emotion. And so I went through, and at night I would study on the different mystery plane, mystery school, and there's, you know, different ascended masters that work, and angels, and, you know, you go to school. And,
right.
And then when I got to the end, to the threshold, then there's this huge void of just, and what we have to do is we have to just, that leap of faith, and just go into that nothingness, go into that void, and perceive ourselves as a teeny speck of light, if that. And then as we're ready to do that, then we're led to that next whole octave of reality.
Right. See, and that, do you believe that the void is there? In other words, almost that you couldn't pass through the void with any mind, third-dimensional crap on you, so to speak.
Yeah, it's probably, it's such a huge paradigm shift that,
right.
You know, there's just, you have to be willing. It's the, I think it's like the complete and total surrender that we need to do, and that we're practicing all the time, and with varying stages of success. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to go through life and to, I mean, just yesterday I made this decree. I had this great group that we were doing and made a decree that I, you know, I promised a guy I was going to, oh, you know, really focus on unconditional love. Well, I mean, I think I was maybe made it, you know, 10 hours before.
Conditional love. Indeed, of course. It's,
you know,
yes,
but at least now, you know, I'm catching myself, and I hope I can remember to keep catching myself. But,
right.
You know, it takes a lot of focus, and it's absolutely impossible for our egos. The ego just can't do it. We just have to keep surrendering to, you know, our multidimensional self and our soul, you know, soul and, you know, the higher expressions of who we are.
Right, right. And it is a game of practice, so to speak. You know, it's, because I tell my friends all the time, don't beat yourself up when you're not doing it. Just have gratitude for when you are.
Yeah.
You know, when because that's the only, it's, you know, it's, you know, like you were saying, millions of years of conditioning of one way of being to, in a very short time, because exactly like, you know, because I'm starting to understand that it's not just releasing time as a belief. Time is literally not part of the experience. I mean, I'm healing instantly, like I dropped a wrought iron chair on my Achilles heel over the summer as I was like, you know, yeah, that was a doozy, boy. And I've done it enough times where, you know, whether I've stubbed my toe or hit my elbow or whatever I'm doing, I've programmed my mind. I don't say ow. I immediately go into I am a field, I am healed. So I go out of the physical, put myself into the field, and then once I've stated that statement, I am a field, I am healed, you know, pristine just pops into my head. Be pristine. And Anya, my little six-year-old, we saw it. I mean, the skin was still torn, but it stopped bleeding, and it wasn't gushing. I mean, it was just like kind of blood on the top of the skin and stopped hurting, you know, in a moment.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, and I tell people, you know, when we're releasing time now, this is no longer, like, I want to be at the frequency where I'm, you know, I'd like to have children and, you know, all of that good stuff. And, you know, everybody's like, you know, well, it's going to take a while to figure this out. And it's like, no, see, these are all the conditions around time. It's not going to take a while. Mm-hmm. It's going to take me to feel because what I'm learning right now, the importance of flipping beliefs for myself, beliefs that keep me in a filter, that keeps me in a frequency, that keeps me in a time and space, that I don't have children, okay? Because I believe I already exist with time and children in another frequency. I just gotta flip the beliefs to get me there, so to speak. Or not get me there, but because it'll be an instant thing almost. It's already there. It's just not in my awareness because my filters of beliefs are keeping it from me.
Yeah. The reality the reality we perceive is the reality that we live.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's kind of like old, like bad habits in our old third dimensional life. I mean, we have the tools to do this. We just have to sharpen them up a bit. But the very tools that we use to break other bad habits, you know, maybe a bad habit of smoking or maybe a bad habit of, you know,
any addiction.
Negative about stuff or any kind of addiction. Right.
Right.
We're looking at a real addiction now, our addiction to thinking in a third dimensional manner.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
an addiction
exactly.
is something that you do very often when you get scared. You know, we go to an addiction when we're frightened. Because then it turns off the emotions, and then it's all about the charge of whatever that addiction is. The charge of getting high or getting drunk or, you know, eating a bunch
of food, sex, all of it, yeah.
And yes, all of those. It's like, okay, this is, I don't have to feel what I was feeling. An addiction is a thing that you do or a substance that you take so you don't have to feel. And so when we're starting to feel this totally different way, then we get scared. So we go back to the addiction of feeling human. Well, we're still human, whatever that means. But, you know, of having our earth vessel. And I'm also getting that, you know, I mean, our turns are saying that our light body is, that our earth vessel is like the womb of our light body, that we all always had our light body, always, they always did, but it was this little teeny spark of light. But now our light bodies, you know, we're getting fed from all this wonderful energy from the galactic center, and so it's feeding our light body. And what they're saying is that our light body will just kind of grow beyond, eventually it flashes beyond the boundaries of the illusional boundaries of our physical form. And then instead of our light body being inside of our physical body will be inside of our light body.
Oh, that's a sweet, sweet space, too.
Yeah.
You can just, because isn't that essentially what the glow is around all the ascended masters that we see depicted, that their body is in their physical body is surrounded by light?
Right. Yes, and their physical body isn't of the resonance of ours, but they choose that form. As, you know, ascended masters, they're somewhere around 7th, 8th dimension, so they don't really have to have a form, but they wear one. So so that we don't get too freaked out. You know. Right. So it's like, oh, hi, you're Elmoria. I know you. And, you know,
don't want to scare the lab rats.
I put on my Elmoria costume today. You know, I'm wearing this form. So Elmoria doesn't like it. He doesn't like it to make fun of that. Elmoria, I've worked a lot with Elmoria. They all, I don't know. Ascended Masters have. They have very distinct. No, they have a strong personality. I mean, you can feel them. You know who's who.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if I've been around physical beings that I know have ascended, and it's an interesting experience where, like, after 5 days of physically being in this woman's presence, I could feel I was losing my mind. And it was, you know, it was a challenge. I was like, because I created a workshop for her, and I, you know, literally when the workshop ended, I heard a voice in my head that said, pack. Go.
How did you lose your mind? I'm curious. What was that experience?
How does that feel? Loss of control, definitely fear-filled, anxiety. The anxiety was tremendous being in the presence of her. And it, in the beginning, it's exciting because it spins me. I can feel it just.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, And then after, because I was a facilitator of the pod, I was around her physically more. You know, I was driving her to certain interviews and blah, blah, blah. And so physically being in her space was, you know what it's like? It's almost like because I wasn't ready, which I think is what you kind of was saying earlier, it felt like I was being torn apart. You know, I was being stretched beyond my comfort zone. And I didn't even it was supposed to be something happening the next day, and I told my partner who had built it with me, you know, the pod and stuff. I went, I got to go. And she was like, okay, no problem, Goldie. You know, I could see that, you know, lunacy was in my eyes going. And the first thing I wanted to do is just come home in my own space, lay on the ground. And it took me about 2 weeks, to be honest. Like, you know when you shut your eyes, and I don't know if you're going to have the experience, but when you shut your eyes, if you press on them, there's a light show that kind of happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After, like, the first 7 to 9 days after being around Almeen, there was no light show. I saw the opening of a cave.
Hmm.
And I knew it was another dimension or whatever it was.
Right.
And I was like, wow, I hope this sticks around, because I kept trying to get into the cave, but I couldn't. And then inevitably my light show came back. When I pushed on my eyes, I get that, you know, the movement of energy and stuff.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, because that process, it was like this long meditative process of moving through the fourth dimension. And it started off, I was in a cave. And,
really?
And so I would have a meditation for a while, and then the meditation would end, and then I would go back into that same spot, rewind it just a bit to, you know, like if you flick it to go get a cup of tea or whatever, you know, so you have to rewind it to remember where you were. And then I'd go forward to the meditation, and the next time I'd come back. And I wasn't doing it purposely. It just happened. I came back, and I'd rewind it a little bit and then move forward until finally I got to did all of this, and I got to the soul plane, into the fifth dimension, under the threshold of the fifth dimension, and there was no leaders because we were all one. And it was a scary process. I mean, I was walking in like this flow of people. There's like this flow of light, and I was walking in this flow of light. I'm going like, is someone going to tell me what I'm supposed to do? What do I do here?
And you simply be. That's what we do. We be, and we share, and we experience, and we create. And oh, I'm so grateful for you on the planet, Susan. Thank you so much for being here. I am. Adore you. I do. You're beautiful. You are beautiful. Hey, let's we have to have you on more often, to be honest, because 2 hours, it won't even be enough. I want you to share about the meditations for healing the earth. Because this is very much on a lot of people's minds, and your work is exquisite. So if people need to know they can do something. You know what I'm saying? They want to, if they can't get to an oil spill, well, what can we do? And your work exquisitely approaches that. So
that's good to do that, because they're on the blogs. on the blog and on the meditation, free meditation page. And there's also links to about that chakra. But basically how it is that since we are one with the planet, if we heal ourselves, then we're healing the planet, right?
Exactly.
And especially if we take that moment of giving our intention to Gaia and giving our love and perceiving her as our sister, as an expression of our being within this dimension. And so the way that I have been doing this, and I've got these two different groups that I'm doing it with, and the two different groups are doing it very differently, you know. And I knew it would be that way because it's just kind of like I, you know, sort of facilitated, and then it takes on its life and does what it does. But basically, we look at it, we go to our chakra and talk a little bit about the chakra. And also along with, I don't have that in the meditations that much, but maybe I should do some other ones because the one group has been doing more of the psychological healing. And then the other group, it's also the psychological healing, but really focusing on the expanded perceptions. Because this other group is all these, suddenly these women priestesses, they all got there at once, and they're just like waking up like crazy, having psychic this and psychic that, and like over the top, you know.
Wow.
So that's where their focus was. Whereas the other group, they had other focus. But so as we do the, I pick the chakras, I mean, I'm kind of sick of chakras. I did so many chakras on the website, like, oh, no. But just because it's such a good way of
to connect,
going through the process, the, you know, and to kind of splitting it up in a way.
Absolutely.
You know, walking the Jacob's ladder, the seven steps of Jacob's ladder, you know.
Yes, yes.
And so after we do the work on our personal chakra, then we share it with Gaia and look at, you know, wounded places within her and give that healing to her. And it's what I got about it before I started it is that most of the injury to Gaia is from humanity. And, you know, the animals and plants, they're not doing a lot of damage to Gaia. It's
exactly.
We're the ones. We did it. Okay.
Right.
And we're all one. We're in this being of humans. And so, though, like you're saying, embrace your darkness, if there is one human in all of the earth that will damage the earth for their own personal gain, then that's me, too. Because I'm a human, too.
Exactly.
And we're all one.
Yes.
We're all one human.
Yes.
And so as we heal it, any one of us heals and takes responsibility for that. And I can't say that I've always been, I mean, I've always totally loved nature and loved Gaia, but I can't say that I'm always like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have thrown this there or whatever,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly. I flick cigarettes out the window. Yes. Yes.
So,
well, and part of it is the humility of it, right? There's such a wisdom in accepting, because that is part of the higher dimensional ways of being. We're not going to get higher dimensional or expanded until we accept exactly where we are. But the accepting is part of the journey of expanding. It's not like you accept and then you get, you know, judged to hell and you don't come out of it. The way through hell, the way to get to heaven is through hell, by the accepting of that which we've done with the space of, and now I'm going to own it, and I'm going to bless it and change it through the alchemy of accepting it.
And through the great healing force of unconditional love. And in order for us to be the distributors of unconditional love, which is the contract that we signed when we stood in line and made our proposals, can I please have embodiment in this time frame of Earth? You know, we all said, okay, I volunteer. I will radiate unconditional love. But that means we have to have it. That means we have to
express it. We are it.
Unconditionally. Okay.
Yes.
So that is the trick. And so if we can only embrace the darkness of those bad people that did those terrible things and call it our own, if we can love ourselves unconditionally. If we can't love ourselves unconditionally, it's too much. You just can't do it. And and I know, I mean, I have absolutely been guilty of distancing myself from those bad people by judging them. Absolutely. Yeah. And the most one, well, for me, okay, maybe I'm more judgmental or more honest, I'm not sure, both. One of the most difficult parts of the path is to not judge anyone. Because as you really expand your consciousness, you begin to know a lot of things. A lot of things of what's going on with the secret government and what's going on with the Illuminati and you know, that's really, and that's a lie and that's a lie and that's not truth. And you just start knowing all of these things.
Right.
And so therefore you want to judge it. You don't want to be a part of that bad thing. You want to push that bad thing away with your, you know, righteous anger and your judgment. But then you're them, aren't you? You've just done. You just did it. You just fell in. And in this age-old battle between the light and the dark always looks like it's winning right up to the final, because it can step on people's heads. It can
cheat. Right. Exactly.
It has no rules. But the light, the light, which of course encompasses the dark before it can truly ascend, the light has to maintain its light and just rise above and rise above and rise above and show the way. And that means we don't get to judge. And, wow, it's hard. I do not get 100%.
It's a challenge. But when you're in that space of acceptance without judgment, there is a bliss that goes so beyond the happiness of duality. I mean, it is. Holy moly. Forget drugs and sex. And I know, listen, I love a good orgasm. But it really is, for my particular, it is so deeper. It's a DNA. It's cellular. It's my field is actually in an experience, not just myself.
And it is your self, you know, your multidimensional self, your higher self. We are actually feeling ourselves, our real self.
Yeah.
You know, and our real self is not limited to the third dimension or the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension or the sixth or the seventh or the eighth. Our real self is all dimensions. And we have other lives within the third dimension that we call past lives, because they have this illusion of time here. But that's just an illusion. They're all going on at the same time.
Yes.
And then we have all these different fourth-dimensional realities that we're living, all at the same, at once. And but while we have our primary focus on our 3D form, we have to go through all this effort, well, less effort over time. We have to raise our consciousness to a place that we can feel all of these to the extent that we heal them. And then after we kind of healed our third and fourth dimensional realities, it's like, okay, I'm going to go on to the good stuff in the fifth, you know?
That's
cool.
Exactly.
One body at a time in the third is enough.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. So.
And it's a beautiful experience. And would you agree that it's kind of happening to us anyways? It's not like, you know, because people are like, am I doing it right? It's like, it's happening. It's happening to you. There's no right or wrong. Just it's a game of surrender that just allows the changes to happen. At least to those that are awakened.
It is about that surrender thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is about that. You know, we have to just keep, getting in new instructions. Right? Now, okay.
Yeah.
Note to self. All right, I'm ready for more information. Give me a clue, you know. And then after we get this communication going on with these higher dimensional expressions of ourselves, then we need to close the gap. Here's me in the third dimension. And there's me way up there, you know. And the thing that I'm really working on is really perceiving myself I mean, I am an Arcturian. And I am a Pleiadian, and I am, you know, a Sirian. I'm a whale, actually, you know, from Sirius C, a water being. And all of us are. I'm not special or better than
you. No,
me.
No, you speak
all
your truth,
that.
Love. I love it. Yes, you
yes.
are. You
every,
are.
Every one of us are those beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have to really expand our consciousness to be able to wrap ourselves around that, you know. I mean,
yeah.
from, you know, when we're stuck in the third dimensional consciousness, which I definitely get stuck in, then
mm-hmm.
it's, I mean, hey, I'm just lucky I can make it through this one little day of this one little body that I think I'm in right now.
Right, right.
You know, so then
yeah.
it's time to hit the goddess tub and, you know, put on the
yeah, well, and
it
is getting easier, don't you feel? It's getting easier on the quote-unquote hard days to get to that expanded space and know yourself
easier.
As goddess.
Yes, yeah. I can feel, we can feel that the collective consciousness is waking up a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
also it's intermingling into the planetary consciousness. People
yeah.
are really, you know, beginning to love Gaia and realize that
yeah.
she's our mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she gave
exactly.
us a home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She
sustains life.
She sustains life.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, how are you okay if we go? I'm so excited to talk to the Arcturians. how do you need a few minutes? Do you want me to play a song or is it I'm not quite sure how this works.
Playing a song would be good if I could take a little break, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. All right, let me see what I got going.
So,
and
I'm sure a lot of readers, listeners would like to take a little break too. We can all listen to your song. How's that? Like, no?
Yeah. No, of course, of course. And of course, I don't have a song.
Okay.
I don't have a song downloaded. But I'm sorry. Thank you. I thought I had a song. The Blog Talk Radio, I put certain things up, but if you don't use them, they take them down. It's just one of these things.
Okay, so let's take a moment because there's a
lot of
information. So let's take a moment and change channels a little bit.
Okay.
For those that are listening, for you and me as well, and just... breathe. Just take some long, slow, deep breaths while we feel, take a moment and put our feet on the ground, get grounded, plug it in because we're going to take some high journeys. I was told to take my watch off. Take off your watch.
Electromagnetic. I just shut the light. Yeah.
Yeah, the electromagnetic field, sometimes I'm told. Take off your watch.
Oh, interesting. Okay. There's a crystal in there, that's why. Yeah.
And also the EM field.
Okay.
And the time and space and the tick, 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 you know, all those things, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just get to take off the watch. So. So would you like me to...
You're in charge, sweetheart. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, I'm open to. And however, whatever, truly, I trust and surrender completely because your world rocks mine.
That's a lot of responsibility. I think I'll give you your world.
Oh, okay. No, or let me know if you need me to do it. Okay.
Okay. You know that I take things pretty literally.
Yeah, no, well, okay. Indeed. All right, then your world expands mine.
I like that, yes, and
yeah.
we expand each other. Greetings. We are the Arcturians. We are Suzo, encouraging Suzo to embraced this expression of herself and encouraging all of those beautiful lights that we see. We see you. We would like to take a moment and tell you how we perceive you. We perceive you as a beautiful energy wave, of an energy wave of light just flowing and moving and different colors, emotions, different lights, which are thoughts, and the little spark, the spark of your soul, the spark of your core, all there, all around. Fortunately, we have 360-degree vision. We can see those in front, behind, to our right, to our left, all within one moment, without any effort. Our grounded expression is having a little effort here, but we're fine. We would like to say to all of you beautiful beings, we would like to say thank you. Thank you so very much for remembering yourself. We can see you all of the time. All the time we can see you, we can hear you, we can feel you, we can speak to you, and we do all of the time. But we realize that very often you cannot see us, you cannot hear us, you cannot even particularly know that we are right here, exact same place, exact same time, different frequency. We're just at a different frequency. And we are all here now because we are so joyous to be able to participate with our wonderful grounded ones in this beautiful experience of planetary ascension. We feel that there are certain people that have questions. Did you have them, Goldie?
I had callers. They're not on the line, but I have questions. If it's okay to us to engage, and when I get a caller, I'll stop and take the call, if that's okay.
Yes, and if we hear a particular call, then we will just answer that as well.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for being here. I want to let you know, as soon as Susan started channeling you, my cat started getting very excited. She responds. Pardon?
Blessings be, dear cat.
Well, thank you. She's
animals are very
my Dakini. Yeah, she knows your presence. Okay. The question I have is, I've learned that Arcturian is the place where we go to kind of live out multidimensionally things that we might want to experience on planet Earth. So my question is, I'm wondering, I'd very much like to have a child in this dimension, and I'm wondering if I have played that out in Arcturus, being a parent.
The beings on Arcturus are choosing to hold forms from the fifth dimension and beyond, because we have chosen to ascend long ago. So, therefore, we are all choosing to wear forms of light bodies. Therefore, the process of having a child is quite different than the process of having a child while wearing a third through fourth dimensional light body. Actually, that process is one of choosing to move in to the seventh dimensional oversoul, for a fifth dimensional reality encompasses the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and the seventh dimension, all of each wearing increasingly loose forms. Mm. Within the seventh dimension is the Oversoul, and so the one who may choose to split in two again, the we are androgynous, our male and female divine complements have long ago combined, and we do, on occasion, choose to create two bodies for ourselves, one with the properties of feminine and the other with the properties of masculine, and very often we will choose this endeavor when we are choosing to bring a new member into our reality. When we do this, we meditate and raise our frequency so that our auras are of the fifth dimensional violet, which is beyond the violet that is perceived in the third dimensional reality. In this fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional, fifth dimensional reality, violet, it is laced with a silver and a white and a sparkling and moving and changing. Because for us to be honored to bring a new being into our society, we prepare for this. For it is a very great honor. It is one of the greatest honors of our realities that choose to still wear form.
Wow.
At the time that we have expanded our consciousness to embrace that frequency, we move into the Oversoul and set out our invitation, the Oversoul being all the souls of all of our souls, and set out the invitation of, we are volunteering to offer a new experience to enter into our reality. And invariably, a wonderful soul will choose us as we choose them, and we will have a beautiful moment of reunion of three becoming one and one becoming three and three becoming one, and slowly, gradually, with unconditional love and infinite patience, we journey with this new one down in through the sixth dimension into the divine blueprint, where we look at all the different types of experience this soul would like to experience within this particular, the word you would use is lifetime. Mm. And we apologize for our pausing. It is quite difficult for us at times to translate our message to a language that is bound by time and space and pronouns and individuality, for we have none of those.
Yet no apologies necessary. Frequency and essence is truly felt. So I tell people who listen to my show in all languages, if you don't understand the words, just feel the essence, and your essence is sweet. So no apologies. 'Cause I also realize that this isn't, I have the Arcturians are a group consciousness, right? Because I shouldn't be asking about me. This is about a level of awareness that the questioning should be coming from.
We are a group consciousness, and we also enjoy the most beautiful experience of inviting a new soul into our reality, which you would perceive as pregnancy and birth, we perceive it in that as well, only the pregnancy is within the male and the female components of our oneness. They oppose each other, so to speak. So there is a masculine charge and there is a feminine charge, and the infant then is that neutral charge that comes from the one, that neutral charge. And so we create, it's like the nucleus and the proton and the electron, only those are not the words that we would use, nor could you understand the language, nor could our channel translate it.
Right.
So
right, no.
As we then go to the fifth dimensional component frequency of our fifth dimensional reality, we have been within recluse, within, very often we'll go into what you would call nature, or we might perhaps go into what you would call a temple. But there are certain frequency bands that are specific for this endeavor, and everyone respects that we are in seclusion. We are in seclusion, for we are bringing up forth this beautiful creation.
So if there is the experience of birth, is there the experience of death on Arcturus?
The experience isn't birth as you would say. It's more like a raindrop falling from a cloud.
Hmm.
That there is not a effort. There is just a moment where that soul has taken all of the unconditional love, multidimensional light, all of the essence, as you so beautifully speak, the essence of those who have volunteered to assist it into this somewhat form, and they eventually choose to become their own form. Kind of like a flower would bloom, and first it's a bud, and then the bud opens, and then it opens all the way to the point that it is in its full splendor, and now the one that became two to take in the three to become one now becomes two of the mother-father aspect, then returns to the one.
Right.
And the child, who is not necessarily a child, for everyone enters with complete memory, complete cognition, perhaps enjoying the protection, not of any harm, for we have none, but protection from stimulus overload, because coming from an area of complete total unity to the illusion of form is like for you moving from the illusion of form into light body.
Right.
And then in terms of your answer of do they die, there is a cycle of completion. And when that cycle of completion is reached, then they usually, we, us, all, an element of the one, that individualization that does exist within unity, which is a difficult concept.
Mm.
Like the stars, the myriad stars. Think of each star. You think of outer space as one, but each star would be an individual. It's more like that.
Okay.
And so then that star, when that star, so to speak, would die, it goes into a higher frequency. So when we have completed our cycle, we move on to the threshold of the eighth dimension, moving into the complete group mind of eighth to tenth in a pure conscious, formless state. So there is a cycling of that pure consciousness, formlessness, into a element of form. And from within that element of form, we can create starships so that we can journey around, so that we can wear a form. For our service is to help awakenings, awakening people, awakening civilizations, awakening planets. And we move all through the omniverse in search of those who are ready to awaken so that we can give our assistance in that endeavor. And in doing so, we hold a form so as not to frighten those who we meet.
So when you say hold a form, it would be a creation not of birth into this lifetime, but just a creation, a form for an event or an endeavor, and then it could be released?
We can change forms as easily as you would change your clothes. And
right.
We do so with that same intention. If the ones with whom we are meeting have a specific need to see us in a certain manner, we will happily hold that form for them.
Right.
But we will all hold the same form for them. For part of our message is that there is an individuation within unity. For those that are moving beyond the lower realities where there is more separation, they are afraid that if they move into the higher frequencies of unity, that they will cease to exist as an essence. And we wish to share with them that that is not the case.
That would be the outright, exactly. The opposite of the void is to lose yourself in the unity.
There is no loss in ascension.
Pardon?
There is no loss in ascension.
Exactly.
Well, however, to our perception, but to the perception of our grounded ones, there can be a loss because our grounded ones have to continually release. They have to continually release anything, anyone, any person, any place, any object, any concept, any emotion, any thought that restrains their ascension. So there is a constant release, which to whatever degree of ego that is still maintained will be experienced as a loss. And it is this process of loss to their perception that allows them, that creates a barometer for how much they are still attached to ego.
Mm-hmm.
Because to the soul, there is no loss. To the soul, it is a beautiful reunion. It is only to the ego that it is experienced as a loss.
Right. Right, that's very true. Are you aware, can you see my field at this point?
Yes, we can see your field.
I
would you like us to read it?
I would love me. Thank you.
You had many sparks with your excitement.
The sparks are of a hot pink or deep magenta. Before you sparked with excitement, there was a sea of gold, and above that pink, and above that a violet. All of these are blended, as in what you would call watercolor. But the watercolors would have a sparkle to them.
Wow.
So they're all blended. And we see your cat, who has a very green, green, yellow, pink. The cat is, of course, Assyrian, from the Assyrian cat people.
Okay.
We embrace this member of our galactic family with a smile. Of course, the recognition was there.
Definitely.
Just as many of your cetaceans, whales, and dolphins are from Sirius B, the water worlds around Sirius B, they have come to assist. And many of our of your humans are members of our Arcturian clan, so to speak, as well as members of the Palladian clan and others. And there is great interbreeding, for all of us serve as one within the galactic family. Within that, the lower fifth, the threshold to the fifth dimension, where there is still the illusion of bodies and technology, kind of your Star Trek world.
Okay.
And there is an interbreeding.
Okay.
So our grounded ones have many. Many essences intermingled. It is the beauty of Gaia's contribution. Gaia has been a beautiful melting pot for many of us, for many of us that came to her when we were children. And she lovingly offered up her body so that we could evolve. And unfortunately, when we were our evolving ones, there was damage that we did to her form. And that is why all of those who have taken form upon her body are blessing her within her great aura, blessing her from within the fourth and the fifth dimension. And we're all working to heal her. We're all realizing that she has come to the completion of her great cycle, and she wants to ascend as well. For millions of years, she's allowed others to use her body as a schoolroom so that they could learn and that they could ascend. And now she wants to ascend her body as well.
Like the ultimate service. She's really been the ultimate living example of service. I never thought of that till just now.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah.
Yes, we are proud of our sister. She is a very great being.
Yeah. Now, have you ever had a physical experience on this planet, or do you have that through Susan?
I have that experience through her. And through quite a few others, for we are capable of holding many forms. So there are about 12,000 expressions of our form on planet Earth at this time. And I am speaking, I am, in terms of the I am of that spiritual term as opposed to
yes. Yes.
We. But we, I am, speaking from the 8th through 10th, so we are able to maintain constant communication with myriad expressions of ourselves. Myriad expressions of ourselves.
Wow. Are you in a ship over the earth at this point?
We, members of our reality who have chosen to carry a fifth dimensional form, absolutely have several ships. One which is called Athena. This
wow.
particular transmission is coming from beyond that form. However, beyond in your language would mean beyond cognition of, or perhaps beyond recognition of, for it would be likely impossible for one still functioning with the human brain to realize that we are feeling all of the 8th and 9th and 10th and this octave moving into the 11th and 12th when we meditate, as well as all of the fifth dimensions, fourth dimension, third, first, second. As we ascend, as you ascend, you don't lose, you gain.
Right, right.
So you know all of your first, the higher dimensions can easily perceive, communicate with, unify with, guide, lead, suffer, hold, the lower frequency, the lower dimensions, but it is more difficult to see the higher dimensions. In order to perceive the higher dimensions, that being needs to raise their consciousness into that frequency of dimension and get the information and then return it back to that particular expression of their greater self.
Right. Yes, indeed. We do have a caller, so I'm going to bring a caller on, if that's all right.
Please.
Awesome. Okay, area code 905 from Canada. You're on the air live with the Octurians. Hello?
Hello. Do you have
905? I got them unmuted. Hi, Canada? Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to leave it unmuted. We'll continue to talk, and I don't know if it must be on their end. Or, well, then again, Blog Talk Radio could be on my end, but my technology shows that they should be clearly able to speak right now. So
we will answer, if you don't mind.
Oh, I love you guys. Absolutely, go.
This is more challenging for our channel, so we will take a moment while she recalibrates.
I honor that, absolutely.
Yes, beloved one, we are here with you. We see that you are concerned about a family member, and we wish to say to you that there is no concern. There is only unconditional love. With unconditional love, whatever that being is choosing to experience is perfect for that being at that time. We take a moment now to send the unconditional love of which we speak blessings. We hope all can experience our gift, for it is always there. It is only our holder of form that at times experience limitations. Goldie, are you back?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. That was exquisite. You know, it's amazing because unconditional love is such a still moving energy. It's like it contains everything. But I experience it as a stillness and a movement. You can't even put it into words. It's just a tremendously calming energy. That was how I experienced it.
It embraces all, so it embraces all paradox.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
hung up, but I know they got it. Thank you. Wow. Well, your whole expression, you know, it's so amazing because I had somebody from Facebook say they wanted to listen to the show and they could, I guess they can read English, but they can't speak it. Oh, okay, wait, they called back. Maybe, let me see if they're trying to. Area code 905, you're on the air live.
Goldie.
Oh, Dennis, I had a feeling it was you.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Well, I don't know what
all
happened.
All right, you're on the, well, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Listen, you got a few minutes and you're on the air with the Arcturians, so if you have a question or acknowledge what they just shared with you, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to know exactly because they have been giving me information and they've been writing it down and they've been showing me in quite condensed concise manners, and I, you know, I've actually been picking it up now, like numbers and telephone numbers and addresses and everything. And how can I?
Are you having difficulty integrating the information you are receiving?
I am having difficulty with holding the information that I've been receiving and where it's coming from. There are many evenings or during dream time that it's a little more elusive than others, but for the most part, I can carry it on to my wake time and carry that information with me and hold it within me. And I feel that there I'm being pulled in a couple of different directions while I'm in dream time, per se, outer dimensionally traveling with the entities. And I feel that they are not just they as in being one, but different entities vying for my energy. And and just your comment on that, please?
Yes. The word that you used as different is your rememberingness of your multidimensional ability, of your ability to experience alternate realities within the same moment of the now. There is a level of lack of unconditional self-love, a level where you become a bit frustrated with your learning curve, and at that moment, a bit of fear comes in, and within that moment, you experience a lower frequency than was your intention or initial desire. Therefore, we wish to give you a gift that you hold within your night body, and at any moment that you begin to experience any frustration with your remembrance of multidimensional experience of holding many more than two or three alternate realities within your consciousness at one time, within that moment, you may awaken. You may awaken into a calm, peaceful sleep. Can you take a moment and see this round, to you perceivable gold, and place it in your high heart, within your nightly multidimensional journeys? If you get to that overload, basically you are going into an overload, you just touch your high heart between your physical heart and your throat chakra. Just touch it. And then you just calm down and give yourself a break. Do you understand what we're saying?
I understand what you're saying.
You are a very brave warrior, and you are learning and growing and waking up within every moment. And we ask that our awakening ones be patient with themselves, for you need to understand it in great detail and translate it into your human brain, for you are learning your purpose and what you are experiencing within yourself. You will help others to experience within their self. Therefore, it is vital that you understand every part of what is your experience, and also know where the breaks are. So if it starts to go too fast, you could slow it down. Do you understand what we're saying?
I understand, and that's what happened. excuse me. Tried to bring me away from another, and I was in between two places at the same time.
There are many octaves of realities. Within the octave that you initially began the experience of alternate realities, within that octave, there was no competition, no negativity, no divisiveness. However, as you became overwhelmed with the effort, your consciousness, your level of consciousness dropped into a lower frequency reality of a lower mid fourth dimensional, in which there is still an individuation and a competition. It is vital that you do not think that they are trying to harm you. It is just that your resonance dropped to a frequency in which there existed a they that might try to harm you.
I did not
feel... See the difference?
Yes, no, I do see the difference, and I did not feel any fear in any regards. It's just that I wanted to experience one and the other at the same time, and it just felt as though that they wanted to show me things at the instantaneously same time. And I wanted to go to the one, and I was doing the other, and... You know, and I guess there was no fear. It's just that I just want to work and learn and just absorb everything.
Yes.
And
it was an overwhelm, and the overwhelm lowered your frequency for a moment.
Right. It brought my consciousness back to where I was.
Yes, and we are happy that you did not perceive that as fear. But basically there is fear-filled and love-filled. It moved out of the love-filled into the other arena, which was a frustration towards yourself.
Right, I need to be patient.
So that put it into that fear field. And that is fine. but we don't wish you to have any uncomfortable experiences. Therefore, just take our gift and tap it because you are psychically exhausted and you just need it. Yes, and many of our grounded ones get very psychically exhausted, and it's very important that all of you tune in to that moment and say thank you for sharing and open your eyes. Go back to what is familiar. Take a break. Our grounded one is about ready to take that break as well.
Okay.
Is there any closing? Did you have any further questions?
I'm good.
Okay, Dennis, because we only got 10 minutes, I want to make sure that Susan can do what she can do. Thank you so much for calling in, Dennis.
Yep.
And actually, I'm wondering, I don't have a closing. I'm wondering if you can just share something with the grounded ones as a closing.
You will have to remind us, but we do not live in time.
Oh, no worries. We have 9 minutes, so no, we're good. And if we go a few minutes over, that's okay. So.
All right. All of our beautiful ones, we see the smiles within your aura, and we invite you to look back into yourself and to see that smile you have within yourself. That smile of gratitude, of joy, of wonder. As you look back into yourself, see your divine child. See your first expression of coming in to the earth vessel that you now wear and rooting to the light and saying, oh, my. Oh my, look, oh my, what is that? That little thing, that's me? Oh my, I'll have to take a couple of your years to get into that. It's very dense, oh my. Well, I will have to love it. I will have to love it very much. I will have to love it and love it and love it. Because it is very dense, it is very small, it is very weak. We invite you to remember that moment when you looked at your new body and feel the love that you felt for that new vessel. Oh, look, I have a new vessel. I have a new vessel. I get to be part of the Ascension team. Now, because you are in your multidimensional formless state, you can see all the myriad challenges that you will experience within that vessel. And so you spend time, the concept of time. You spend time touching the concept of touch, the heart of that new vessel, the mind of that new vessel, giving it love. Awakening it and saying, I am with you and I am inside of you and I am awakening you right now. And open your eyes.
Thank you so much.
The rebirth.
Wow.
I don't know where they come up with these things. Yes,
I resonate with all of it.
I
psychic exhaustion. I so resonate with it. Well, and I so appreciate callers.
There was a family member. There was someone with a family member.
Well, exactly. The callers help universal answers get answered, even if they don't call. Listen, you know what I'm saying? You're picking up on all the energy. So.
Right.
There's no wrong answer. It's just answering what's showing up, you know, so to speak, on the top of the list. And
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, their energy is really, it's uniquely Arcturian. I mean, I've had other people channeling on the show, and
it's hard to explain, but they feel very much in tune with earth energy because it's the feeling I get when I go to my chambers. I have these Celtic chambers that I go to, and I can feel it. It's tangible in my hands right now, like when I go there.
It is. And then let's everyone take a second and call upon our Palladian self. And that Palladian energy is very different. It's beauty, love, compassion, unity, giving, sweetness. And now let's switch over. Let's call upon the Syrians. Syrians, a little more serious. Maybe that's why they're serious.
You're making me sick.
Knowing everything. Absolutely everything, knowing. Constant knowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Constant knowing.
You are such a blessing. You are.
And we all can do that. We can all tune in to all of the ETs, and all of the ETs are all tuning in to us. And as we blend our consciousness with the gift of blending that they are offering us, then we are intermingling their fifth dimensional gift with our third and fourth dimensional planet, and we share it with Gaia, and Gaia mixes it all up into this beautiful soup and amplifies it, spreads it all over to the planet, into every single person, place, thing, situation, element, elemental, and bursts it out to everybody.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets a taste. So
it's
great fun.
It is.
It's going to be wonderful.
Great.
It's going to be wonderful. So thank you so much, Goldie. I had
fun. Susan, so much deep love. Will you come on again and not as long as it took before? And I know we're like letting go of time, but
yes.
I would love for you to, I really enjoy you. And I have to get used to the questioning coming from the space that, you know, my expanded space. I'm always all about little me. Little me wants to know this. Little, am I going to have a baby? When it's like, and as I was talking, it was like, Goldie, why don't you ask galactic questions? Because you have the ability. That's who's translating right now for you, a galactic being.
Right.
You know, and it's so funny how I'm not used to that, and I would love the opportunity to get used to that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of letting go that goes with that, though, I got to tell you. Yeah, there's a lot of letting go. And, you know, the ego, we have to reassign the ego in closing,
right.
I'll say. We don't let go of our ego, we reassign it. We reassign our ego as the chief engineer for the care and maintenance of our physical earth vessel.
Right.
And we're still using it. Because we're matching the resonance of Gaia. So we're holding onto our vessels.
Yeah.
And because that's our bit of Earth. That's how we're grounded to Earth, through our vessels.
Huh. Right. Well, but we have the opportunity at this point in this frequency to let go of the ego and still be physical, right? That's the magic of these times, correct?
I hope.
Right. Okay.
I think it's probably at the moment of ascension. My guess is that happens at the moment of ascension. And I've been told that at the moment of ascension, you have to do that final letting go of, because we have ascended before and we have died before, and they feel the same. And so we have to be so confident that we're willing to feel like we're going to die, because our earth vessel is going to think it's dying.
Yeah,
and so
I've heard
we have
that
to be so in control that we just say, okay, I'm letting go. And so I think I think that we need that ego, because that ego is what keeps us grounded in this physical vessel. Because if we didn't stay grounded in our physical vessel, then we would experience all these differing personal ascensions. But we have volunteered to help Gaia. And so
right.
we need to all keep our ego, good little wonderful ego, because
right.
that's what keeps us in our bodies.
Okay.
Because we all are waiting for that now so that we have this massive moment. Because we know all we have done and all the lives of all the things that we have done for even to be able to start thinking of personal ascension. Now, how much more energy would that take to ascend an entire planet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we all need to stay plugged in until the cosmic call says now, and then we let go.
Outstanding.
No.
You are exquisite. Well, we got to look into that. Now, that's not going to say it's not going to scare the bejesus out of us, but it will be the most outstanding scare we've ever experienced.
Yeah.
I love you, sweet sister.
Thank you.
I will so be in touch. And listen, I'm one of your biggest fans. So thank you so much for everything you bring to this world. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And thank you very much, all of you out there that are listening. Thank you. I feel you all.
Oh, indeed. Namaste, everybody. I love you all. We'll talk next week. Susan, I'll be in touch.
Bye.
So.
Okay.
All right, take
Bye.
Care. Bye now.